I'd also like to introduce Dr. Smiley, and she's president of the Academy on Violence and Abuse. She's also a graduate of the University of Punjab, and she's a pediatrician. And I had the pleasure of meeting her last year when I became a member of the Academy on Violence and Abuse. I'm really excited that she's here today.
Thank you, Pat. And, you know, we are really a small, intimate group. So I hope that we can have a conversation. Sometimes these technologies are sort of dividing us, but I hope it doesn't interfere. I have a really lovely presentation for you. I do ask you to say my name. Can you get my name? It's Tasneem. Tasneem. There we go. Okay, and I'm just totally delighted to be here. Thank you so much, Pat, for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. And how do we make this go forward?
I think just click on the left side.
On the left side. There we go.
All right.
So we are an academic health professional membership-based organization, and we are located in Greater Minneapolis. I gotta get this. Okay. We have Carla Vaughn, who's our staff, and that's a website, avahealth.org. This is a photograph of our website. How many of you have been to our website? Please do go. It's pretty cool. So if you can see, we have a lot of information on it. The little photograph that you see, that is our board chair, Dr. Block. And Dr. Block is being inaugurated as the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And he just got it on October 17th. So we're just very excited that Bob is the AAP president. Just to give you an idea of what you would get at the website when you go there, we have a new offering, which is on the right-hand side, which are research reviews. So the articles are taken by the interprofessionals. We are an interprofessional organization, and I'll get to that in a minute. But we have Dr. Chadwick, if anybody of you know him, maybe Mike knows Dr. Chadwick, and he is now a member of AVA, and this is his research review for this month, which is on our website. And I write a president's letter every month, so you get to see that too. On the left-hand side, we have a lot of resources, a lot of articles, many, many things for you to take a look at and help you. At the very bottom is our Distinguished Scholar Program, and we have awarded two Distinguished Scholar Awards, and I'll speak about that in a minute as well. So what is our mission? It is to advance health education and research on the prevention, recognition, treatment, and health effects of violence and abuse. We really want to make that connection for the health practitioners and for the public at large about the connection between health and violence and abuse. That is our vision. Expanding health education and research, AVA will integrate knowledge about violence and abuse into the training of health professionals, promote the health of all people, protect the most vulnerable, and advance health policy that promotes safe families, workplaces, and communities. How did we come about? So in 2002, the Institute of Medicine had a report. It was called Confronting Chronic Neglect. How many of you have heard of that report? It's a seminal report. And in that report was one of these suggestions that we need a professional society organization. In 2003, the American Medical Association's National Advisory Council on Violence and Abuse realized that a professional membership organization was needed to give scientific credibility to the discipline. And in 2004, with the assistance of the Family Violence Prevention Fund, now called Futures Without Violence, the founding members came together in San Francisco to lay out the purpose and structure of AVA. This is how we got birthed. So we wanted to be a health interprofessional. You know, the multidisciplinary concept now has a word, and it is called interprofessionals. So we want to be interprofessionals. We want to be across the lifespan. We want to break those silos between child abuse, intimate partner violence, elder abuse. We do operate on the social ecology model, and we are membership-based. So we have 130 current members, including global members. And it's growing, and we hope that you do join us. We are about all of the health professionals, whether you're physicians, nurses, psychologists, social workers, family therapists, pharmacists, public health, dentists, occupational, physical health professional students. You're all welcome. And so these are the founding visionaries. I don't know how many of these names that you know. Elaine Alper, Jackie Campbell, I'm sure Jackie's name is well known. Marie Christensen, Dave Corwin, Bruce Ettinger, Marcy Grouse, Ed Hill, myself, Lisa James, Debbie Lee, Dave McCollum, Connie Mitchell, Linda Salzman, Dave Schneider, Zita, Ellen Tolliver, Carol Warshaw, and Therese Sink were the original group that got together in the fund's office in 2004. And here is that original photograph. I don't know how many of these names that you know, but the people whose backs you have is Debbie Lee from Futures, there is Lisa James, you see Ellen's. I'll just go around the table and get you a sense for who are the people in that room. So you can see Ellen's head next to Debbie, to Lisa James, and then you see my dark hair, and there's Linda Salzman. How many of you know her? She has passed away. There's Dave Schneider, there's Dave McCollum's head, you can see Bruce. In the very corner, a couple more pictures, Carol Warshaw, there's Connie Mitchell, and Marcy Gross. So two people out of the original group is no longer with us. Linda Salzman and Marcy Gross have passed on, and Jackie Campbell, Therese Zink, and then we have the moderator. So here's another picture of it. So you have down here, which is Carol Warshaw, Elaine Alpert, Marie Christensen, Bruce, and this hair that you see closest to you is Marcy Gross. Marcy Gross actually came up with this name, Academy on Violence and Abuse. Here is the process. You can see all the brainstorming that we did up on the wall. This is Linda Salzman right here in the blue shirt. This is Jackie Campbell's back. There's Ed Hill, who was president of the American Medical Association. We had our first gathering in Minneapolis, and there's Ed Hill, there's Connie Mitchell, that is Bob Locke, the current president of American Academy of Pediatrics, and Dave Corwin. This is our structure. We have an AVA board of directors, we have 15 directors, I will go through those guys. We have an executive committee, and we have a whole bunch of committees. Now, when I was here on Sunday, the APHA described their structure. And yeah, this is like a little baby thing, you know, compared to the APHA. Very simple, but the thing is, when you do this kind of work, you need folks, and you need committed folks. All of the board members are volunteers, and they give their time, and they give their talent, and they give their treasure to make this organization happen and live and flourish. These are our current board of directors. There's Bob Locke, I showed you the picture. There's me. There's Dave Corwin, Marie Christensen, Bruce Ettinger, Dave Schneider, Dave McCollum. Do you see that these are the same names that were coming from the founding? And here are some new names though. Megan is a pediatrician. She's our latest board member, Peter Kronholm, family practitioner, Janice Humphreys. How many of you know Janice? Yes, she's UCSF, a fantastic academic nurse.
Yes, she is.
Brooks Keeshan, who is our fellow. He's amazing. He's doing triple boards. He just blows me away. I know very few people who are doing triple boards. Susan Kelly is a dean, Charles Mouton is a dean, Phil Scribano's pediatrician, B. Yorker, is also a dean of nursing. Here we are in one of our working sessions. There's Bob Block, you can see closest towards you, there's Brooks, there's Susan Kelly. Way in the back is me, and next to me is Charles Mouton. We meet twice a year face-to-face, and the way we do it is we meet once in Minneapolis and once in a board member's host city. So this is in Oklahoma, this is Bob's home, there's Bob, Marie, myself, and Dave Schneider. There's B. Yorker, the Dean of Nursing in Southern California, and there's Phil, who's now in Philadelphia. So what have we done so far? We have been doing the pre-conferences with the funds / futures. And we did the first one in 2007. How many of you have been to the futures pre-conferences? Okay, so what the pre-conferences, just like you have pre-conferences over here, it's a dedicated time. So the first time we did it, we had 50 people, room was packed, and what we did is that we discussed what kinds of, you know, what is this profession going to look like? What does this field is going to look like? So it's a blueprint for advancing health professional education that is on a website that is accessible to you to take a look at it. In 2009, we did another pre-conference with the futures, and that was creating the core competencies. That document is also on our website, and I'll talk more about taking this as an example of how it is that we do the academy's work. In 2012, please do come to San Francisco, and we will have a pre-conference on academic careers. So we also have our own biennial conferences. And we did the 2009 conference, which was called Sowing Seeds of Academic Change, Nurturing New Paradigms. Now, we do all go to conferences, and this is a conference that you have come to. I think kind of what we thoughtfully did is that we wanted a conference not just as a speaker talking to you, but really participating in the conference itself. So every person that comes in, we did the experiment in the first conference, and 2 years later, it was very successful. When we did the 2011 conference, that was just this past April, where people really feel part of the conference, not just attendees, but participants. You get to come to a conference, you get to actually speak with all the presenters, talk to them, they come sit with you when somebody else is talking. And Peggy's been there, Pat was here this time, and wouldn't you say, Pat, that we sort of are achieving that kind of sense of, you know, not just this direction, but bi-directional input coming in from everybody. So the 2009, we did publish it, the highlights in the journal Trauma, Violence, and Abuse. So we've done the publications. We have resources on our website. I'll talk to you about the research reviews. We're getting really positive for that. The presidents that everybody says they look forward to. And then we have something called the Kaleva. This is the Kaleva. How many of you have seen this before? Yes. So this is one of the iconic things that Dave McCollum came up with. And he used mind mapping to just make the connections. This is something that I have taken myself when I've gone for congressional briefings to the Congress people's offices. And when you show this to them, you don't really have to. It really is a picture worth 1,000 words. And I think there will be 1,000 words on that. They get it right away. It's so easy. Just, you know, give them this and they like, all right, we get it. So we've done the collaborations. We have collaborated with the American Association of Medical Colleges. We've been invited in their Council of Scientific Affairs. And they also want us to come and participate. Now, if you look at what I'm saying here, this is a strategy that all of us have to think, is how do we get violence and abuse, the health connection, So we have really got to go to these organizations. American Association of Medical Colleges really sets up the agenda for medical education. There are also now, I think, all medical schools in the U.S. and Canada, about 140 schools or more. But they have taken on the interprofessional piece as well. So now they have a council, which is also of all the health professionals that are really part of ABA and part of us, part of the work that we do. So this is a key place that we really thoughtfully did it, and we're investing in it, and we have Phil Scribano and Dave Schneider representing us, going in there. And when in the hallways, they find out, who are these folks? Who are these new faces? What do they do? What is important about them? And then the conversations happen, and they've been invited to come to another council. So you just sort of keep going up the hierarchy till you get in where the decision makers are. So this is just a strategy of how it is that we, as a community interested and passionate about this field, how do we take it upstream? Futures Without Violence, I think I don't have to say. Our collaboration, our partnership is very, very close. It started with them, it continues with them, and we really appreciate all the help that they give us. We have another organization which is called the National Health Collaborative on Violence and Abuse. Anybody heard of that one? You know, I call this pediatrics because it's actually alphabet soup. All of us in this, have our little alphabet soup, and sometimes I get so confused who is who and what is what. But if you call this NACFA, and it's known as NACFA, it used to be in the American Medical Association. It was, it came out of the medical AMA and is now its own entity. But this is how AVA, more alphabet soup, does its policy work. So we do the policy work, not building our own kind of policy committee and doing it independently, but in collaboration. So right now, Lisa James of the Futures Without Violence is its current chair. There are more than 43 organizations that have signed on, health professional organizations. And I tell you, there are people like 20 people on the conference call that we have. 40, you know, at least 40 members, at least 20 members show up. The interest, when it came out of the AMA, we weren't sure whether it was going to survive. Not only is it surviving, it's flourishing. And we've taken, I did a congressional briefing through NACFA in April. So that's one of the ways that AVA is doing it in collaboration, because together we can do a lot more. These are our Distinguished Scholar Awards. We need to take people who have devoted their lives and made gigantic contributions in our field. This is Jackie Campbell, this is Dick Krugman, and so they're our first awardees. What we have done is we have put in an awardee lectureship, and they will come in 13. Dick will come and give his presentation. It's important to see a life led that way, to come back and speak to us and tell them what are the challenges, what are the successes, what lies ahead. Truly visionary, just amazing folks here. We have trainings. These are called our faculty development courses. We did the first one at the April meeting in Minneapolis. We're going to do one at the Chadwick Center Conference, which is January 2012. Futures Without Violence will be another pre-conference in March of 2012. And we have two additional submissions that we are looking forward to. So, as a small organization, you can see we're very small, but we can do these things. We can be very strategic about it. So what is the strategy behind the faculty development courses? It's about building future academic, future leaders. So the first one that we did, Pat, do you think about 50 people in the room.
At least
50 people. It is very interactive. You have a little small, you know, break up in small groups. And so, you know, that's what I said before, that we want a participatory conference. And I think it was very successful. People really enjoyed it. We also have international group of presenters. Aggie Tiwari, who comes from Hong Kong. If you haven't heard that name, please mark it in your little brain. I have a little brain tick. I do that. Tick it in my brain. Aggie Tiwari. Wonderful, wonderful nurse. And she is now leading that organization over there. So that's how we're doing our trainings. And we have two female more. It's okay. Okay, I'm almost done. I want to talk to about the adverse childhood experiences. That was a conference that we did in April. We invited Dr. Folletti and Dr. Campbell. We videotaped those. And now we're also doing interviews with them to really find out about how the adverse childhood experiences study came to be from Folletti, from Ander, from Williamson. These were Williamson and Ander from CDC. They partnered with Folletti, and now we have those hundreds and hundreds of studies that have come out. Recently, SAMHSA is really promoting this. ACEs is making a difference. The CDC has a behavioral risk surveillance survey. How many of you know that? Okay. And so there is a unit now being put in on the ACEs questionnaire. And the 18 states, from 2008, where there were zero states who had this questionnaire. Now we have 18 states and growing. So whichever state you come from, if you don't have it, go to your public health department. We gotta have this. So we will be having this ACEs DVD ready in January of 12. Core competencies. This was one I wanted to talk about. It came out of that same Institute of Medicine report. Core competencies, there is a sample over there, American Medical Association, NACFA, there was a model curriculum. And then, of course, a pre-conference. Then the AVA Education Committee took it. So just to give you an idea, when you belong to AVA, as a member, you can participate in this endeavor, as these are the members that we have on an education committee. Put their degrees in there so you know that there are PhDs, MS, we have dietitians, we have MDs, Pat Lenahan, Annie Lewis O'Connor. These are, Anna Marhavi is from Futures, Megan McGraw is a pediatrician, Lynn Moudon is a dentist, Katrina Trent is a PT, and Jeffrey, who's a psychologist. So it takes all of us to put this together. And I really want to thank Eileen, and you will see Eileen's organization coming up, that we have been endorsed by American Academy of Pediatrics, a Nursing Network on Violence Against Women International, Gay Lesbian Medical Association, American Academy of Nursing. Now this is something I learned. Endorsement is a very strong word. When somebody endorses, an organization endorses it, that the highest confidence that they really share what we have written. Okay? And then we have support and distribution. We have support from the AMA. We have International Association of Forensic Nurses, which you're going to hear about from Eileen. United Way, Minneapolis distributed. And again, we distributed at that congressional briefing, the policy work. That's how it happens. We have completed 5 years. We are on our sixth year. Looking ahead, we want to build more community. We want to build up our membership. We are in the process of strategic plan. As soon as it's ready, we'll post it on our website. We have a fund development plan. Nothing, as you know, can be done without, you know, some money. So we are doing that. Adverse Childhood Experiences DVD, faculty development course, and we are thinking, we are just in the initial stage of putting together a scholars program. This is for the young people who want to enter. We will be offering a scholars program, mentorship, those kind of opportunities. Thank you very much.